KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
You hear a lot of controversy concerning education. Lots of money is pumped into it, but where are we today in seeing our children graduate with an exceptional education? My topic today is education. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Dr. Almeda Lawwell, CEO and president of Lawwell Academy in Edwardsville, is one of my guests. And Gail Mueller, retired educator for the past 34 years. She taught in the public school system. Almeda wrote a book about Mission Possible, about education. But in this show today, we're going to trace where education in the United States has been in the past and where we are today. And how can parents navigate the educational system so their kids come out with an exceptional education? Thanks for joining me, ladies, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here to share our information, Judy. It's a privilege for us.
You know, I remember growing up, I had multiplication tables to learn. I was the first person with a disability to go through the Lutheran parochial school system in the nation. And so there were a lot of things that had to be put together for me to be successful in my educational endeavors. And people made it possible, teachers, my mom and dad were my advocates. My uncle was principal at Green Park Lutheran School where I went. He was an advocate. I remember in those days we had phonics, and I had my Braille phonics in a little box, and I took them out the same way that my fellow students took out their phonics. But it's not quite the same today, is it?
No, it's quite far from that, Judy. What an admirable experience you've had and having become so successful with that opportunity. Education began more or less in 1635 for the United States, and it was a pretty standard European approach until about 1836 when the McGuffey readers came about.
Oh, yeah.
You probably remember that name.
Yes.
And then we cruise along until about the 1890s. And 1910. And once that happens, then government programs begin being implemented. And every 10 years or so, something new comes along. By 1955, Rudolf Flesch writes Why Johnny Can't Read. And his position was that Johnny can't read because phonics are no longer being taught. Unfortunately, after World War II, the United States abandoned phonics, and even today, as scores continue to drop in reading, it just boggles my mind to try to figure out why educators haven't gone back to implementing phonics when they knew and know that reading scores were so much higher with phonics. It wasn't until 1957 with the Soviet launch of Sputnik that the government begins to step in and have, or at least try to have, more and more control over what was being taught in our schools. By the 1980s, Ronald Reagan's A Nation at Risk report comes out, and basically it's a landmark event. And in that report, the committee says, if an unfriendly foreign power had attempted to impose on America the mediocre educational performance that exists today, we might well have viewed it as an act of war. So already in the 1980s, Reagan and many, many others were aware that we were in trouble. Mm-hmm. By the 1990s, we began looking at programs like No Child Left Behind, eventually as it comes around the next century. And although the concept was wonderful, the thought is great that no child is going to be left behind, the implementation was absolutely disastrous with that. On its heels is implemented the Race to the Top. Sounds like a great program. Oh, we're going to excel so much better, so much faster. And this was going to be a guarantee of government funding, and schools jumped right on board with it. Once again, the implementation turned out to be quite disastrous. And then we finally arrive at a education's moral and intellectual bankruptcy in the traditional environment. And teachers and government are wondering what they're going to do now. So Common Core begins to raise its head. And as Common Core begins to surface, there are more than 40 states that immediately embrace the Common Core concept and the curriculum, although they have not a clue what's in the curriculum. So they jump right on board, and it's within a matter of just a few years. So we have 40-plus states. We eventually have 46 states, and we're on the verge of traditional education embracing totally Common Core when all of a sudden it becomes exposed as to what Common Core actually consisted.
Maybe you can give us a thumbnail sketch of what is Common Core anyway. We've heard that term now for about 5 to 10 years, and some of us don't even know what Common Core is all about.
The basic concept is that everyone would have the same instruction in a core form. So there would be a general approach to math, a general approach to reading, a general approach to American history. Unfortunately, what the nation didn't know was when new math came in and parents were complaining about they were having difficulty even helping their children through new math, Donna Hearn writes a book on Common Core and the long war in Common Core. And in it, she produces a piece that shows the Common Core math method. And it's a convoluted way to arrive at the same answer that we were taught in a much more succinct approach to be able to achieve that same level. And as they continued to discredit much of the traditional theory in education, so basically, it's a box of topics that students were all going to approach in the same way. What parents didn't know was what was being taught in the natural sciences, and they didn't know that there had been a huge shift in American history, no longer portraying George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Madison as heroes, but rather as villains. And all of a sudden, in our American history books, history of the United States becomes very convoluted. And we know everybody has faults. We all have them. We all err. We all sin. As Christians, we believe that. But we try to look for the good things in life. So this new approach to history that was basically embraced at the university level first throughout the United States and now has moved into our high school programs was that the United States is evil. It is a victimizer. And in one of these history approaches, the author talks about the men who flew the planes into the Twin Towers as being heroes because they took on the vile American system.
And the whole thing about heroism of people who were killed by police, even though they were doing something wrong, is an offshoot of that same belief. So how can education have gone so far to the point where the traditional values and the traditional trends and learning styles are not taught today? How could that happen when so many people who love education are a part of the system?
Well, people, not only teachers who were being trained to be teachers for 4 or 5 generations now, but also, so the teachers trusted the system to teach them what they needed to know to become great teachers. And parents trusted the system to be teaching their children Christian values, family values, American values, patriotism. And we were asleep at the wheel. So unless you were right on top of what your child was being exposed to, you had not a clue this was happening. And this entered the United States in the 1930s with the Marxists who came from Europe and infiltrated the educational systems at the university level on both coasts. And within less than a century now, that has merged all the way through the Midwest.
Wow. If you've just joined us, I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. My guests are Almeda Lawwell, CEO and president of Lawwell Academy, which we'll talk about in a minute. It's in Edwardsville, Illinois. And Gail Miller, who is a retired educator. Gail, you worked in the public school system for the past 34 years.
Yes, I did.
How
I loved
was it there in education, and what did you teach, and what did you see in the changes in education in that time?
I started teaching in late 1969, and I have seen major, major changes until I retired. It was interesting how alert, how intelligent our students were in the beginning, and they couldn't wait to be sponges to learn everything that was there. And gradually, as they were progressing from one decade to the next, the energy was gone. The respect for the knowledge that they had presented to them was not there anymore. They didn't feel that what was being offered was of any real importance. I was fortunate. I taught vocal music for all 34 of my years, and the last 10, I also taught English. So as an educator, I always loved getting messages across. I taught history through music. I taught values. Over 70% of the world's music is religious, and my students worked on religious works from all faiths, and they learned about the cultures as well as the techniques and the technical works of their musical programs. So I felt that I covered a number of different topics, and we all had fun doing it. But I found as the years went, fewer and fewer students were able, schedule-wise, to take music. Also found out that they were less and less able to take art and any of the other fine arts, languages as well. So we were turning our students away from the humanitarian subjects and turning them hopefully into doctors and scientists, for the few who were smart enough, or we were very sadly using study halls with, in some cases, over 150 students in a study hall each hour of the school day. We were turning our high schools into educational holding pens.
Wow, we're going to be right back. Thanks, Gail, for sharing. Dr. Almeda Lawwell, CEO, President of Lawwell Academy in Edwardsville, and Gail Mueller, retired educator for the past 34 years. We're going to come back. There is hope, Mom and Dad and grandparents. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Stick with us. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com. Or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. I'm Judy Redlich. We are back, and my topic today is education. I have with me two longtime educators, Almeda Lawwell, who is the CEO and president of Lawwell Academy in Edwardsville, Illinois. Gail Mueller, who is a retired educator for 34 years in the public school system. Gail, you alluded to the fact that your students weren't excited about learning when you left the school system. Ladies, let's talk a little bit about how do you think we can get kids excited about learning again, and is there hope for the education system today in the midst of the challenges they face in the past decades?
Judy, there is hope. I'm not certain the hope is so easily reached within the traditional system right now. When you think about Common Core costing $100 billion and never being implemented. Had that been Lee Iacocca and Chrysler, they would have fired him. So we're in an environment in traditional education where the monopoly is protected no matter what. So people have to begin thinking outside the box. I know there are many people who think, well, if it's a parochial or a private school, they're going to be thinking out of the box. However, many of those schools follow the same curriculum that the traditional environment follows.
And I was going to ask you that question, so I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought about the parochial schools that I went to, our children went to, and many people are now that school of choice is coming into being in many states are sending their kids to the private parochial schools for a better quality education.
And that's a wonderful opportunity for parents to have. They will have to be very careful, though. They need to monitor what kind of curriculum is being taught at every point in their children's lives. So you need to know what kind of American history, whether it's a text or it's online information or extra sheets that they have been duplicated, you need to know what your child is being taught in American history. And you need to follow whatever subjects they have. For us at the Academy, we bring about excitement in learning by coordinating, making synergistic, basically. All the subjects that we teach depend on one another. So our art teacher knows that he or she is not any more important than the math teacher, who is not any more important than the science teacher, who is not any more important than the American history teacher, or whatever subject it is. We all work together as a team, and sometimes we are blessed enough to be able to fluctuate our schedules. If the science teacher has this great opportunity for someone to come in and show a new example in an experiment, then we adjust our schedules to accommodate that extra 10 minutes that science teacher needs. And I take it out of my classes in world history or world philosophy. But the bottom line is we try to tie everything together. One of the reasons children can't be excited about education today is that if a person's teaching about the American Revolution in fifth grade and then talks about the Bolshevik Revolution in the sixth grade, even as it ties into or does not tie into American history, or and then talks about the Civil War 2 years later, there's no continuity for the children. So not only do we every year for every child in our school from pre-K through grade 12 talk about American history from its very beginnings to current day, we take world history and parallel that as best we can right alongside it. We also parallel music history, art, hands-on art, science, definitely. You'll have many science teachers and scientists who will say, when we tell them basically the old general science principle is what we use. We use new information, but that's the general concept. But in using the general science theory, we teach at the very beginning of the school year about the Big Bang Theory, but we also teach about creationism at the same time. We tell parents, you tell your children what you want them to believe, but we're here to tell them they're going to hear both of these theories. We teach them as theory, although we're all Christian at our school. We teach them as theory and let them understand so that when they're older, they can have some facts on which to base their judgments.
Unfortunately, in the public school system, you can't get that because so much of the curriculum is locked in and it's geared to you must teach this during this particular time period. And most teachers can barely get through the information if they do that at all. So it's an entirely different concept. Almeida's Academy work is much more open so that it can work. She builds on a foundation, and that foundation is reinforced from day one with every student so that the information the little ones get is just developed and it grows more as the children get older. With the public school system, to a great extent, it's you learn this in sixth grade, you learn this in ninth grade, in 10th and 11th grade, you've already known that, so we're moving on. And there's
there's no reinforcement.
In many cases, yes.
Wow. So, Almeda, if people are within the Edwardsville, Illinois area, how can they get their students enrolled in the academy?
They can go to our website, www.larwellacademy.org, or they can call the school, 618-288-8024. And contact us and ask for information. We're happy to speak with any and everyone.
Now, maybe there are educators who are listening who are saying, you know, we run the curriculum in our school systems, and I would like to learn more about how we might be able to have this curriculum in our school system. Is that possible?
Absolutely. I've written a book, Mission Possible, Synergistic Academics, Saving U.S. Educational Exceptionalism. And I've laid out basically my curriculum concept. And my curriculum concept is available for lease throughout the United States and actually can be leased internationally. All they do is replace American history with their own country's history.
Wow. Mission Possible, Synergistic Academics, Saving U.S. Educational Exceptionalism.
Educators in our country are the hardest working, most dedicated people in any profession. They sacrifice and they work harder than anyone I know. And very sadly, their work is not going where it needs to go simply because administrations and state controllers who are not moving the educational system in the right direction for the children. It's not the teachers who are at fault. It's just that they have their hands tied. And the wonderful thing about Almeda's program is that it is for every student and it can work. It breaks my heart because I listen to some of my former students who are now telling me about their kids in the classrooms, and they say, oh, my son or my daughter's making straight A's. And I smile and I say, that's wonderful. How many other students are doing the same? And if the numbers are too large, it's saying that the information is not challenging enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Too simple.
It's not helping the students to progress more. And they need to be challenged. They are the leaders of the world. So they have to know as much as they possibly can and be able to articulate it and carry that on for their generation and their children.
Mission Possible, Synergistic Academics, Saving U.S. National Exceptionalism is Almeda Lawwell's book that you might want to take a hold of. What tips do you give for teachers who feel like they are caught in this conundrum? They love teaching, but they just have a hard time with the curriculum because they know there's so much better things out there.
That's a really difficult question to answer, honestly, Judy. But honestly, if teachers find themselves in that kind of situation, serving where their heart is not, they need to leave the environment and strike out on their own with guidance from someone, perhaps, or find a program where they can best express and offer their gifts.
What about parents who say, I think my kids is one of those schools where they are in the Common Core system and they're not learning the things that we learned when we were kids.
They need to find a new program. Parents need to know exactly what their children are being taught. And if they don't like that, they need to find a program where they like what's being taught. Or they need to bring the program to their children. There are churches where buildings are available for low-cost rent and where church facilities that are empty during the week may, some may not, but churches may be receptive to utilizing that space as one of their services to God at a much lower cost and getting the congregational people involved. And there are opportunities for teachers and parents to step away from a sinking ship, if that's what they choose.
With the school choice monies becoming available, it's in 11 states right now, and hopefully Missouri and Illinois will come into that as well. How can that help in this whole effort?
Well, competition is key in the United States, that's part of our basic concept is competition. And even though there will be some programs that come out available to other people that will not be very valuable, parents need to research and to find out something and have proven statistics. For example, with my curriculum, we have 36 years of exceptionally high nationally standardized test scores. That's across the board. We make all of our students take the tests, and that is across the board. So a person has to research whether or not he or she begins a program or comes to someone like me, and I can say, yes, I can provide you the curriculum. I can provide you the teacher training. But competition is a key factor in all of this. Monopolies rarely turn out well to the advantage of the people.
Dr. Almeda Lawwell, CEO and president of Lawwell Academy in Edwardsville. Gail Miller, retired educator for the past 34 years in the public school system, have been my guest today. Almeda, how can people get a copy of your book?
It is available on Amazon and from Ex Libris, the publishing company, both places.
Mission Possible. Synergistic Academics. Saving U.S. Educational Exceptionalism. Get involved more in your kids' educational life, your grandchildren's educational life. There is hope, and you can be a part of making that difference. I'm Judy Rutlick. This is Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.